Now let's move to the latter half of the 19th century. Huge changes at this time with the development of lithography is a much cheaper method of reproduction, and it really led to wider availability in markets as well. What kind of quality difference do we have with this method?
Well, this is the technique of surface printing. We talked about the raised printing and the incised printing, and this is printing on a flat surface using a chemical process. The way this worked was that they would take a surface like a stone, which was porous, and they would draw on it with a greasy crayon. Then they would wet the whole stone with water, and the water would be repelled by the greasy crayon, but it would be absorbed by the stone. Then they would cover the whole stone with greasy printer's ink, and that would stick, that would be repelled by the water, but it would stick to the greasy crayon, so the design that you would get printed when you put it through a press was whatever had been drawn on the stone with the crayon. Of course, this was much easier to do because it's much easier to draw with a crayon and a stone than it is to try and carve a design into a metal plate. So as you can imagine, this was a lot cheaper as a method for printing. Another good advantage of this was that you could also finally print in color too, because you could fill in large spaces with the crayon. And then use successive stones for every color that needed to be included in a print. However, a lot of times the coloring that came out with lithography was too coarse to reproduce the delicate shades needed for botanical illustration.
One of the things that we had a lot of fun with as we were doing this project and pulling images for you was just looking at the range of emotion expressed in these images. Some of them could be very attractive, but some are outright gaudy and garish. Just look to the right of your screen for more examples of the lithography prints, and I think you'll see that there is quite a range. It appears that there may have been a touch-up of the plate opposite 100 in The Romance of Nature. Look closely on your screen and you can see that common practice. If you look closely, you'll see a difference in the sheen and the quality of the paper, and that was the touch-up that took place.
The Romance of Nature is an example of a sentimental flower book, which was a genre which became very popular towards the latter half of the 19th century.
Up to this point, we've talked about woodblock prints, we've covered copperplate engraving and lithography. Now we're going to switch gears a little bit. We're going to talk about nature printing. This is a very different method from the ones that we have explored so far. It has a different process, and it is a little bit of a different time period. It creates some very different images.
This is the process of nature printing, which was very popular during the era of lithography, but which in technique actually harkens back more to printing on incised surfaces. This was a technique which was more of an experiment, which was performed by German printers in the latter part of the 19th century. And the goal of this was to take the actual object which they wanted to portray and use that to make an impression to print from. The way they did that was to take a dried plant specimen and put it between a soft lead plate and a hard steel plate, and this made an impression of the plant in the soft lead plate. Then they would take the lead plate and immerse it in a bath of copper ions and run some electricity, an electrical current, through the water. Now, if you've ever done a battery as part of a high school chemistry experiment, you'll know that copper ions will become deposited on the surface of the lead. Then they would remove the lead plate from the bath, let it dry for a few weeks, and they would have a copper plate to print from.
We have very much focused our discussion on pre-20th century methods, but of course photography had a huge impact on how the images of plants were captured between the pages. And although we love illustration, we really do have to mention, say a little bit about photography. Over the 20th century, photography has largely replaced artists' work. Think about any book, gardening book, that you've picked up in recent years. What do you see? You're probably looking at photos, you're looking at images of gardens, and they're probably captured via photography. But artists are still relevant. And they're still very important, particularly when there's a specific advantage to using their work in books, such as emphasizing particular details, grouping plants which don't grow together in nature, perhaps from different climates altogether, or showing flowers and fruit on the same plate. This is when illustration becomes really essential, and although photography may be a little bit cheaper, it's still critical to go with illustration because of the images and the information it can convey to the viewer. Now, I'm sure that some of you out there, I hope that we've really sparked an interest in this subject, and you may want to know, where do I go from here? How can I find out a little bit more? Linda, where would the interested viewer, you know, what can you tell them about coming and seeing some of these images?
Well, all the images that you've seen today, except the ones from the Temple of Flora, are in Mann Library's special collections, which means that they're under lock and key and they don't circulate. But however, you can come in and look at them in the library. All of them are listed in the catalog, and if you wanted to see any of them, you would just come into the library between 8:30 and 4, Monday through Friday, and go to the circulation desk with the call number of the book you'd like to see, plus photo identification. And then our staff will page the book for you, and we'll take you to a special reading area where you can go through it. So please consider yourself welcome to come and see for yourselves.